إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وأقول وأمر إن القرآن ذات الله بزيان صجر الشرك إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به أن يغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. This shows that Allah does not forgive. It is the measure, the manner, the hidden, or one of them, or all of them of him. He agree with that. Do you agree with that?
I would suppose that the shirk that someone insists on. You make a mistake. Allah forgives the mistake. But if you have courage, he insisted on worshiping the ass, he insisted on fighting the Prophet, he insisted on doing things that were outside of
the What would somebody insist on doing by their shirk?
Then it becomes major.
Yes.
My share is my maybe in the roof of 10 people.
Give me an example of a minor share.
I cannot think of it.
Showing up. Fakr. Riya. Riya means to show off. It's minor share. Does Allah forgive minor share or it's not subject to the forgiveness of Allah? Allah forgives minor shirk. You agree with that? He does not agree with it. And just like we disagree with one another, the scholars of Islam, they disagree with one another. They say this ayah refers to major shirk. Allah does not forgive major shirk. But He forgives anything else. So in this case, even though it's a minor shirk, it's subject to the forgiveness of Allah. Whereas other scholars, they said, no, major shirk or minor shirk, they're not subject to the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. However, if somebody dies with major shirk, he's not a believer. But if somebody dies with minor shirk, he is a believer, but he's going to be punished for his minor shirk before going to paradise. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said statement that gives you to understand major and minor shirk are not subject to the forgiveness of Allah. And he said some statement in other parts of his writing that the only major shirk cannot be forgiven. So he is the one who makes the best of investigation. He did not give this investigation. He said two things that are not on the same understanding. But in any case, for us, the people, that should be clear enough for us. If we do a major amount of work, it may not be subject to the forgiveness of Allah. And what we need subject to the forgiveness of Allah, that if somebody does it without repentance, it will not be forgiven. But if somebody forgives, repents, Allah will accept his repentance. That which we need is not subject to the forgiveness of Allah. If somebody dies and he has stolen from money, this is a sin, and he never repents from this sin, is it subject for Allah to forgive him? Yes. If somebody dies with major shirk, without repentance, is it subject for forgiveness?
No.
If somebody makes major shirk and they repent, does Allah erase this sin? Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
My question, there will be a time of 10 minutes or 15 minutes at the end of the lesson, and we take all the questions we have. Was Ibrahim afraid from shirk?
Yes.
Ibrahim. Not talking about the Ibrahim, or about the prophet Ibrahim, the one who destroyed the statue. Listen to what you're saying and pay attention, pay attention. Be careful. Was he afraid of himself? Who? There's an ayah in the Quran where Ibrahim was supplicated to Allah to be kept away from the worshipping the idol. So there's not a believer that is guaranteed. If he's a believer today, he's not going to fall into practices of disbelief. Therefore, we always have to be turning to Allah, asking Allah, supplicating to Allah, begging Allah to keep us on the right path. That was the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repeat all the time. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen. The one who turns the heart, make my heart established on your religion. What is the shirk that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid for the believer the most? So much. He said, أقوم ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأظهر. قيل وما ذا قال الرياء. The Prophet was addressing the believer. He took time and he said, the thing that I fear for you the most is minor shirk. He said, what is that? He said, hypocrisy, showing off. What does it mean to show off? What is showing off? How do you use it?
He says showing off is
for you to do something for the people to look at you and praise you. You are not doing it to get reward from Allah. You see, if you are giving charity, you're not giving it to come closer to Allah. You are giving it for the people to say, this person, he is generous. You are reciting Quran not for the purpose of getting for each letter 10 good deeds and for you to come and please Allah Azza wa Jal, but you are reciting the Quran very much for the people to say about you, he is a good reciter. So this is showing up. And why the shirk? Because the association here, you are taking people to be what you are trying to be. Whereas the Muslims, they should always try to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And in pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, you will get all the benefits. And this is something that will benefit you in your life. Try to always please Allah Azza wa Jal, regardless if the people are happy with it or not. Because the hadith of Aisha, the translation of it means, whoever tries to please Allah, Allah will be pleased with him, and will make the people pleased with that person. And whoever tries to please the people at the expense of pleasing Allah, Allah will be displeased with him, and he will make the people displeased with that person. Because who controls the heart? Allah. So if you are trying to please Allah, Allah controls the heart of the people and he will make the people happy with you. Therefore the hadith, another hadith that Prophet Muhammad said, that Prophet Muhammad said, if Allah loves a slave, he would say, oh Jibreel, I love so and so, so love him. Then Jibreel would call in the the angel, and he say, Allah loves so and so, so love him, love him. So they will love him, and then the acceptance will be put for him, for this person and us. So our main target to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter says, بَابُ الدُّعَاءِ إِلَى شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The chapter concerning calling the people to testify there's no doubt worthy of worship except Allah. The chapter of calling the people to testify there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And the sequence of the chapters are very radical. We are started with to show how important it is to establish Tawheed. And then the virtue of Tawheed. And then whoever establishes Tawheed will enter Paradise without any reckoning. And then being afraid from committing shirk, and then calling to the Tawheed. And this is very logical sequence. Because if you believe in something, you're going to call for it. If I have something that is very good, and I want you to come and get it. If I have something that's very beneficial to you, and I believe in it, I'm going to come and listen. This is very good. So calling to Tawheed helps us completing our Tawheed. Calling to Tawheed is part of completing our Tawheed. So if you really believe in something that is the best, it's not be sitting at the in the closet and hide it. You have to call for it, announce it, pronounce it, promote it, expose it to the people. And struggle in the sake of Allah to make this call widespread. The first ayah that came to this chapter, he brought the ayah in Surah Yusuf, where it says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, O Muhammad, this is my way. I call to Allah with knowledge. I do that, and those who follow me do that. A glory be to Allah, and I am not from the associates. This is the translation of Surah Yusuf. This ayah has many important benefits for us to reflect upon. First, say, this is my way. What is the way? What we are talking about is the religion. The way is the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Islam, the legislation, the rule, the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is my way, I call to Allah. But even though it's my way, I'm not calling to myself, the call is to Allah. أدعو إلى الله. How am I calling to Allah? With knowledge. With knowledge. Because it's not difficult to call to Allah without full knowledge. Then you will know whether you are calling to Allah or calling to otherwise. And here the Quranic expression says basira. And the translation of basira is more than just knowledge. Because knowledge in Arabic is ilm. Ilm is knowledge. Basira is more than that. It's ilm, knowledge with more knowledge pertaining to how you convey your knowledge. So knowledge is one thing, and how you convey it is a different thing. Therefore you find somebody that is very knowledgeable, but he cannot stand up and make a khutbah. Cannot. He said, I do not know how to organize myself. So knowledge is one thing, and conveying the knowledge is another thing. Therefore, they say that the good teacher of it, somebody who is knowledgeable, but he does not know how to teach. The fear refers to person who has the knowledge, and he has the knowledge to how to convey the knowledge. Are you back in Chinese? Or? So knowledge is to have the knowledge, and the knowledge to how to convey the knowledge. And how to convey the knowledge refers to two things. You have to know the situation of the people you are talking with. And you have to pick the best style of communication. If I'm talking to people who are very educated in their religion, I have to talk in a way different than talking to people who are not educated in their religion. If I'm talking to somebody who has a lot of misunderstanding in their religion, it's different than when I'm talking to somebody who is willing and susceptible to implement their religion. If you are talking to somebody who is hooked on doing a certain thing for 10 years, it's different than when you are talking to somebody who is willing to change. So every person, you have to know who you are talking with. You cannot deal with the people, just expect you are talking to same person, same mind, state of mind, same perception. People vary. So the person who is calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has to have the perception on whom he is talking with. For him to choose the best, he makes us to communicate the information. Secondly, you have to choose the thing that when you say, it could be understood. So this faqir refers to knowing the religious perspective and knowing who you are talking to and knowing the best way to convey this message. The best way may be a thing. It may be a book. It may be, instead of making a big lecture, one-on-one talk over a cup of tea, and so on and so forth. That all together, when you put it together, it shows basira. The basira, to call to Allah, refers to knowing the information, the religious information, knowing who you are talking to, and knowing the best way to convey this message. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls to Allah with basira. And those who follow him, they call to Allah also with basira. Therefore, if a person wants to be perfect in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to do two things. He has to acquire the basira and he has to call to Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best one to call to Allah azza wa jalla. If you want to be from his followers, you have to call to Allah just like he called to Allah azza wa jalla. And that signifies the importance of calling to Allah azza wa jalla. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling to Tawheed. If you want to be from those who follow him, you have to call to Tawheed. For you to be able to do that, you have to know something for you to call to something that you know. Here, when you say call to Allah, that means there must be sincerity in the effort. Because people, sometimes they call to Allah and they call to other than Allah. Those who call to Allah, they have sincerity in their call. Those who call to other than Allah, they might be calling to the religion. Realize, they might be calling to the religion, but they're not doing it sincerely. They are doing it for the purpose of getting reputation. For the purpose of the people saying so and so is knowledgeable. A lot of people fall into this problem. They will be calling the aspect of this religion, but the purpose behind this call is not to please Allah, but showing how God sneaks in. Therefore, they will be practicing the cultural religion for them to gain some reputation, some benefit, some authority over the people. Therefore, we have another hadith where it says the shirk, the riyah, is not an end, which is walking on a black surface. Can you see the end in the land? If there was an end, crawling on a white surface in the middle of the night, can you see it? Can you see it? And this is how shirk can creep in the heart of the people. This is how shirk can creep in the heart of the people if the heart is not on the alert 24 hours a day. Clearly, day in and day out from all elements of shirk. Seeking the repentance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Dignifying Allah Azza wa Jal the way He's supposed to be dignified. Look at us. We think about ourselves highly. We like ourselves and we have, each one of us has his own respect. Who of us would be willing to put his forehead on the ground? If somebody says, you put your forehead on the ground for me, you can say no. If you want the force, he's going to be struggling with you and fight with you and to do that. But by comparison, when we are the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah by His bounty over us and by His strength and might over us, we are willing and out of love we put our forehead on the ground for Him in our prayer. Out of love and out of fear and out of glorification, and we beg Him for mercy, forgiveness, bounty, everything we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. Therefore, Allah does not after that forgive association, because that is a transgression against His right. What is the right of Allah over us? To worship Him without any association. You know what hadith is that? What is the first hadith we said in the first chapter, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was riding with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the donkey, and he told him, you know what the right of Allah over the slave? And the hadith says and continues to say, يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. But association represents transgression against Allah's right over us. Therefore, Ikhwani, I encourage myself and encourage you for us to always be sincere in our efforts. Sincere, even when we are calling to the religion, make sure we're not calling to the religion for the purpose of being in the spotlight. That we are calling in the religion for the purpose of making the rule of Allah take authority. And if people do not respond for us, we should not be mad because they're not responding to us, but because they're not responding to Allah. And if they respond, we should not feel happy because they are responding to us, but because they are responding to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling to the people to tawheed with basira. And those who follow him, they are calling with basira. So we do not call to partisans, we do not call to groups and parties, we do not call to nationalism, we do not call to socialism, we do not call to communism, we do not call to nationalism, but we call to the book of Allah, he calls you the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here in the ayah, in the A'raf of the ayah, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنْ اتَّبَعَنِي. We're going to start looking at the Arabic to define this A'raf. What does أنا, what's the A'raf of أنا? أنا تعرف مبتدأ مؤخر وعلى بصيرة خبر مقدم, فيكون المعنى أنا على بصيرة ومن اتبعني, فيكون اتباع الرسل على بصيرة, والذي ليس على بصيرة لا يكون اتباع الرسل حقا. والأعراب الثاني أنا توكيد من أدعو, يعني أدعو أنا, فأنا توكيد للواو من أدعو, ومن اتبعني يدعو, فيكون أتباع الرسل هم الداعين إلى دعوة الرسل. وكلا المعنيين صحيح, فأتباع الرسل هم الذين على بصيرة, وأتباع الرسل هم الذين يدعون بدعوة الرسل. وهذا من الأعجاب القرآن. What type this is about the meaning of the ayah of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This ayah, the way you look at the word and you make the i'rab of the word, it will give you two meanings. The first meaning, that those who are the followers of the Prophet are those who have the basura. And the second meaning, those who are the followers of the Prophet are the one who called to what the Prophet had called. And both meanings are correct, because verily the followers of the Prophet, they have to be with knowledge. And they have to call to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to the pure religion, the religion that is not mixed with any innovation. He calls to the religion that is the truth. And here, all of us understand that إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِسْلَامٍ. What is the religion that is considered a valid religion by Allah? It's al-Islam. Most of people argue to that point. But after that, many people argue to what is the correct understanding of al-Islam. Therefore, you have many sects in al-Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my nation will be split into what? 73 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire of step one. Which one is it? The one that follows what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was following. Therefore, when we see all those texts, we can name many of them. Which one of them is the correct text? Is the one that understands this religion according to the understanding of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Which one of them? If you have an understanding or the Prophet has a different understanding, which one should be more valid? Of course, the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now the question is, how can we verify that your understanding is according to the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You think if we go and ask any of the people who is of the deviant sect, we tell them, how you follow the religion according to the understanding of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What would he say, yes or no? Nobody will say, no, I'm not following the Prophet's understanding, I have a different understanding. Nobody will say that. So what will be the criteria that will be assure and ascertain that somebody is understanding their religion is according to the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The criteria is for your understanding to be also earned coherent with the practice of the companions. Because we know for sure that the companion understood this religion the way the Prophet understood it. Therefore, they were given the glad tidings to go to paradise. So if your understanding differs than the understanding of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Anas ibn Malik, والمغيرة بن شعبة وابو عبيدة بن الجراح ومعاذ بن جبل. If you have a different understanding, then you have to really take another serious look on your understanding. Because indeed, those are the ones who see this religion fresh from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the best students to receive this knowledge. Therefore, when we want to call to the religion, we have to call to that religion which is the truth, which is the haqq. And we know this haqq by making this religion, we are calling to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. We're not calling to somebody saying an idea and you say this is the religion. We now hear a lot of people, some weird ideas. They read something in the Quran, they read another book, and he comes with the weirdest idea and say, this is what it's like. But we have to throw all that in the garbage. And we call to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon for us to be from the same sect. When we say 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire, that does not mean those sects are